As always, we're delighted to be blessed by the efforts of our bluegrass ensemble and all of our musicians this morning leading us in worship through music. From Mark, the first chapter, in passing by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets into the sea because they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately they dropped their nets and followed him. And passing along around the shore, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And they were in their boats, mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left their father in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. When I am counseling people on the verge of marriage, I tell them something which they readily agree with. I say to enter into marriage together is to say an extraordinary yes unto each other. And they understand that. But then I add something which puzzles them. I say yes to each other also means saying a lot of little no's. Every yes in a relationship entails a lot of little no's to other activities, to other people, to other habits, to other customs. Yes, to say yes to people in marriage means that you say a lot of little no's to things that would undermine your commitment to making that person the most special person in your life. Yes always entails no. Truth is, all of life entails that interplay of yes and no. When you think about the big game tonight, you have two teams, superbly trained, athletes at the pinnacle of achieving a dream they have thought of since childhood. But their superbly trained bodies are a combination of yes and no. To say yes to honing their skills, to training their body, means that they have said no to a lot of other appetites, a lot of other attitudes and possibilities. I think of a famous weatherman who not too long ago lost a lot of weight. And he wrote a book entitled, "Nothing Tastes as Good as Skinny." And what he was saying was, look, to say yes to a healthier lifestyle, I had to say no to a lot of items on the menu that I had always heretofore enjoyed. To say yes to one ambition means to say no to other appetites. When those disciples heard Jesus command them, "Follow me," they knew doing so meant saying a lot of little no's to the habits, to the customs, to the people, to the attitudes they had practiced heretofore. To say yes to Jesus meant no to an easy life, no to an easy death. Likewise, as we ponder this table, we recognize that the yes that we say to our Christ in faith entails a lot of no's. No to a life of selfishness. No to a life of self-service. No to the ways of darkness. Yes to the ways of light. No to self-indulgence. Yes to self-sacrifice in behalf of our Lord. You have to remember something. Even in Jesus' day, there were plenty of people who commanded disciples. There were noted philosophers who traveled from city to city, garnering students who wanted to imbibe their particular approach to life. There were famous rabbis who gathered students from around the world who came to understand interpretation of the Torah. Even John the Baptist had disciples. But Jesus' disciples were different. He wasn't asking them to imbibe a philosophy. He wasn't asking them to ascribe to a particular set of doctrines. He was asking them, follow me. He was asking them to pattern their lives around his personality, to enter into relationship with him, to pattern the whole of their existence after his virtues, to live in relationship with him and to answer in obedience to that daily call, follow me. It was not a philosophy. It was not a set of doctrines. It was a personality, a set of values which Jesus exuded. And to say yes to that summons meant saying no to many other allegiances and calls. When we come to this table, when we ponder the broken bread, when we ponder the poured out wine, we are reminded that our God has said yes to us. Yes to us in a costly way. His yes to us cost him everything, his beloved Son. His yes to us means that he pours himself out for us. It means he is a particular kind of deity who issues a particular call to love and service. And when we come to this table, and when we eat that broken bread, when we drink that cup symbolic of poured out blood, we're also affirming our yes. The supper intensifies God's yes to us, and our participation in the supper intensifies our awareness of our yes unto God. When we eat this broken bread, when we drink this poured out cup, we remind ourselves that we have said a particular kind of yes. A yes that demands all of our being. A yes that demands that we pattern our lives after the Christ. He becomes our very role model for living. Not just a savior of our sins, but the very blueprint for how we are to live and how we are to love. This supper expresses God's yes to us. And when we eat it, when we drink it, we do so in remembrance of him. And when we eat it, and when we drink it, we do so in remembrance of our yes unto him. It is with that dual expectation and awareness that we enter into the supper on this day. Paul wrote to his friends at Corinth, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'As often as you eat this, eat it in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" It is God's yes to you. "As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As you have heard in the scripture,